High FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
So there we go. We've got a Pulsar Denura. I have never, ever heard of this in my life. Well, we're going to be speaking, we're not talking about Pulsar Denuras with our next guest, Rabbi Ramon Widmond. But I'm just curious. Rabbi Widmond, good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you? Have you ever heard of a Pulsar Denura?
Good morning, Howard. Good morning to all the listeners. Yes, I have.
Really? Is that a thing? Why don't we do more of them?
Probably because you'd spend your entire day doing it
and probably not
the best use of your time.
Probably not. And also, you've got to be up at midnight. And who over 40 wants to be up at midnight?
Look, Howard, you just need to get out more and have more fun. Sorry, you're going to bed before midnight. Listen, Torah.
Exactly. That's what I should be doing. All right. So you messaged yesterday when we were having this conversation about organ donations and the laws, the halakha around it, and we were trying to understand how we can pursue this within the Jewish community. Obviously, it's a very, very important aspect. Tell me about your involvement.
I've been a card carrying organ donor, so is my wife, for many years.
Right.
When we were in Israel, when I was in Israel, this type of reality is something that's far more, sadly in many ways, it's far more obvious. In Israel, there was a very low rate of organ donation, and many fellow Jews were suffering, and some incredible people mentioned yesterday.
Right.
Some of your speakers initiated attempts to encourage people to become organ donors.
Right.
And there's a society called the Halachic Organ Donor Society. Now, I became a card-carrying member of that many years ago.
Right.
And unfortunately, I was just involved with people that I knew who were killed in action or in terrorist attacks. And many of those people became focal points of a move to donate organs in very powerful ways.
Right.
And when I came back to South Africa, there's something that I worked on with a variety of people here, doctors and the Beth Din, for many years. Dr. Dean Luchin, who made Aliyah recently,
right,
was a major part of that process. And I was, really happy to see the development that happened over the past couple of years regarding the stance in our community about this. And we started an educational program because that's where we believe the issue is. The academy, which I had, is an adult education organization, and we believe that that's the first step to actually making this a reality. Many people have fears, many people are ignorant, many people don't know, and therefore education is the way to deal with it. I think, we've got several adult education courses and also some courses for schools, for students.
Why is so much education around this required? Because it seems to be that many people are of the mistaken belief that it is halakhically problematic. And yet from what I'm understanding through the conversations I've had over the last couple of days, is that it isn't that it's problematic, there's just specific guidelines. And there's a very big difference between the two. It's not a problem for us to eat meat. We've just got to be guided by the laws of kashrut. Is it dissimilar to that sort of thing?
I think it's very different. What we've encountered is a far greater sense of fear regarding this. It's fear regarding death. People are scared that their machines will be turned off and they're not dead.
Mm.
People are scared that they won't get resurrected, that when the resurrection of the dead takes place, that they won't be resurrected because they were buried without all their organs.
Right.
As we've run our courses, we've encountered a wide variety of deep-seated concerns, not necessarily halachic. On the halachic side, they are additionally a particularly sensitive thing. Turning off a machine is potentially murder if one believes that the person is still alive. So it is a tremendously sensitive halachic space, and therefore it's not the same as meat and milk. It's not the same
right,
as eating
right.
meat.
Right. So it's not just a matter of guidelines. It is a very difficult space.
It is. And at the end of the day, people have to take a stance. And if they believe that brain death is death, then turning off a machine essentially is not murder. But if someone does not believe that, then turning off a machine and giving guidelines like that is
very counter to,
and both for the doctor and for the person themselves. So it is tremendously sensitive. On the other hand, even for those who are more stringent in this regard, they can still become organ donors of certain organs, certain parts of the body, which are usable even after cardiac death, even if one doesn't use brain death. And as you mentioned yesterday, the live organ donor space is growing all the time. And that's what we seek to educate about. What we've seen, and we've not only educated the Jewish community, obviously that is our central focus, but we've seen that this issue is essentially driven by deep-seated fears of the type that I've mentioned. And that is the main driver behind people's aversion to even thinking about it. And definitely talking to family about it, because, as you mentioned many times yesterday, it's important.
It kept coming up, and that was so interesting because, again, until I started having these conversations, I didn't realize how much of a factor that is, that people just are petrified to talk to families about it.
Well, you know, even if a person makes a decision for themselves, once they're no longer capable and they are, unfortunately, on a machine, they're relying on the next of kin to carry out their wishes. And therefore, having those discussions are particularly important. And if one person's gone through an educational process, but their next of kin hasn't, it's very difficult to bridge that divide. Your person can't just say, listen, this is what I want to do, you must honor my wishes. It's a tremendously difficult emotional space. I mean, I was involved in a case in Israel where, one of the people that I knew was badly injured in a terror attack.
Right.
And was on machines in Israel. And the parents took the decision to donate organs. But the reason for that was that the person concerned had expressed their desire. The parents had gone that route. And over there, it was doubly traumatic because some of the recipients were not going to be Jews. Right. And this person was killed by an Arab terrorist. So just imagine how much emotion was over there. The only way that could take place was because the family was on the same page.
Right. Had they not had that conversation prior, it would have been absolutely impossible.
No. It is, I mean, again.
Very.
And one sees this. Unfortunately, as a rabbi, one's often involved in end-of-life reality.
And discussions,
It's not something that a person in that frame of mind at that stage can even, the words don't even register. If anything, it's taken as grave offense. Like, how can you even think of that? How can you even suggest that it's such a terrible
time? Right. Rabbi Ramon Woodmont, Dean of the Academy of Jewish Thought and Learning, thanks for joining us and thanks for reaching out to us to have this conversation. It is absolutely vital that we do.